Cough Base Kiss Leave, Friday the 4th of December, by Yehuda Perlman, a theme on the parasha. So, Parshas Vayeshev, a bit of an epic story. The question is, what is it that lies at the heart, or can we, do we have any indication of what it is that lies at the heart of the disagreement between Yosef and his brothers? Our first indication is Rashi. Rashi says is that Yosef brought the Bosom Royal Avihim. So Rashi says, Kol Leah, any evil that he saw with his brothers, the children of Leah, he would bring to his father. And Rashi brings three examples. They would eat Eva Minachai. They wouldn't show respect, they would show disregard to the Bnei Ashvachas, to call them Mavodim. And they were also choshed, suspect on forbidden relationships. Since Rashi was shloshed on Locker, and those three items, those three misdeeds on which he alleged the brothers were falling short, he received Midah Keneged Midah. And the question is, first of all, what were Chazal trying to tell us over here? What were Chazal trying to get us to think about when they said it was particularly these three issues? And what was it in these three issues that could have made such a significant breach in the Shifteikot? And that, l'chura, is what seems to be the only indication that we have as to the actual disagreement. So let's step back a bit and let's do a quick 20-second summary of the parasha. And I think it's evident from taking that very, very quick overview that there is one parasha that just seems to stand out, that seems to be out of place. And when something's out of place, it immediately tells us that you've got to dig deeper to find out what it's doing there, and perhaps with that we can open up the sugya as it is. So let's go. 20 seconds. Somebody's got a stopwatch. So let's go. So the Torah starts off, seemingly a happy family. Yosef singled out for favoritism by his father. I'm not doing very well. I've only got a few seconds left. And his father gives him a ksenas pasim. He has some dreams. He has two dreams. The brothers get very dissatisfied with his dreams. His father sends him out to shepherding flocks. He sends him to Shechem. The brothers plot to get rid of him. They want to kill him. Reuven says, "Let's not kill him. Let's put him into a pit." Yehuda then suggests that rather than getting rid of him, there's some midyonim, yishuelim passing by. Let's sell him. Yosef is sold down to Egypt. Then the next is a story about Yehuda marrying the Bas Shua, daughter of Shua. He has two sons. The sons die. The lady Tamar, we're told her name, is reserved for the third son, Shelah. Yehuda refuses to give her. And we know the story. Tamar disguises herself as a Zayna, and she gets Yehuda to live with her. She's allegedly committed znus, and Yehuda, Yehuda decides that she's deserving of strafa. As she's about to be taken out, she produces evidence of the person she's been with, and Yehuda says Tzod Kamimeni, and she's saved, and we're told about the two sons that are born. We then revert to the story of Yosef being in Mitzrayim. He's taken down to Egypt, the Torah tells us. He becomes a slave in the house of Potiphar. And then we have an incident with the wife of Potiphar. He's slung into jail. And in jail, he meets a baker and a butler. And they have these dreams. He reinterprets their dreams. They are fulfilled. And basically, the Sar Mashkin, who was supposed to redeem him, save him, doesn't do so, and that's the end of the story. Sorry? It took me a bit longer than 20 seconds.
So how long is your half an hour?
So what's the odd parsha? What's the parsha that shouldn't be there? Yehuda and Tamar. Yeah, it's basically a story of Yosef. It's a story of Yosef being estranged from his family, being taken to Egypt, and his life in Egypt. And in the middle of all this, you've got the story of Yehuda and Tamar. So the question is, what's the significance of Yehuda and Tamar? If you look at the beginning of Vayigash, we then see Yehuda featuring again. In Miketz, we see the negotiations with Yaakov. Yehuda undertakes negotiations with Yaakov. But in Vayigash, it comes to a head. With Vayigash El of Yehuda, Yehuda and Yosef face each other, to which Chazal, in the Medrash, Chazal quotes, I've just taken a copy of the Medrash. Medrash in the beginning of Vayigash, Kihine hamlochim noyadu ovru yachtov. Kihine hamlochim, two kings facing each other, noyadu, facing each other. So Chazal says, the Medrash says, Zu Yehuda the Yosef. Kine melachim ze Yehuda ve Yosef. Ovru yachtov ze nismali evro ze al ze. Each one, ovru yachtov, kine melachim noyadu, it's Yehuda and Yosef. These are the melachim, the kings who we're talking about. Ovru, they got angry one with the other. Ovru yachtov. Hemoro came to mo. Hemoro came to mo. It's vayismu anoshim isheri eyu. The brothers were confused as to what this argument was about. Nivalu nechpozu v'layochlo achiv. Nivalu nechpozu, they got confused. That refers to v'layochlo achiv. They couldn't hold themselves in. So Chazal se omru, they said, melochim medainim elu im elu. The kings are arguing one with the other. Onu ma'ichpaslon. It's not for us to get involved. So Chazal pitched the machlokas, the arguments, between Yosef and his brothers, they pitched it as an argument between the two kings. Between the two kings being Yosef and Yehuda. So we're already starting to see that this argument of Yosef and his brothers is to be seen as a machlokes, as an argument between two kings, two kingdoms. These two kingdoms in the Haftarah of Parshas Vayigash eventually will come together. In Yechezkel Lamed Zayin, which is the Haftarah to Parshas Vayigash, Vahidvar Hashem Eilai Lemor Vato Ben Adam Kach Lecho Eitz Echod. Take for yourself a piece of one wood, Uchsoiv Alav Yehuda Levnei Yisrael Chaveiro. One branch should be a reference to Yehuda, should have inscribed Yehuda. And the other branch should be Yisrael. And when we say Yisrael, l'kach eitz echad uchsev lov liyosef, the one representing Yisrael should be written on it liyosef, eitz Ephraim, v'chol beis Yisrael chaverov. So the Navi is told in a dream, he's told in a nevuah, in a chazayin, to picture two eitzim, two wood, two pieces of wood. And one wood, one eitz, has on it inscribed Yehuda, and the other piece of wood has on it inscribed Yosef, and Yosef representing Beis Yisrael. The korav oisam echod el echod. Bring the two together, graft the two together. Leitz echod. They should become one tree. Voyu la'achodim biyodecho. They should become united. So the Navi Yechezkel sees into the future that there'll be a unification of Yehuda and Yosef. But the implication being that until La'asid Lavai, until that vision comes to fruition, we have a split, we have an argument, we have two approaches, an approach of Malchus based David, Yehuda, and Yisrael represented by Yosef. And as we know, the Melucha was split. It started off with Shaul. Shaul is from Binyamin. But Shimi ben Gera was also from Binyamin. Is actually the Pasuk refers to him as being from Yosef, because Binyamin is a close ally of Yosef, is a close brother of Yosef. So that seed is Yosef. It's then superseded by Yehuda, David. And then the Melucha splits into two parts, into two etzim. You've got Rechavam and you've got Yerovam ben Nevat from Ephraim. You've got Rechavam from Yehuda and Yerovam ben Nevat from Ephraim. And those two Meluchas split. Earlier on, those two strands of Melucha are represented, one by the Mishkan and one by the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan Shiloh is Bechelik Yosef, Bechelik Binyamin, and then you've got the Mikdash, which is Bechelik Yehuda. Again, two strands, two approaches, which we'll develop soon. The Beis HaMikdash itself had... it was Bechelik Yehuda, but it had Shechem, Yishkel Al-Kasefov. The Gemara says that refers to a strip of Binyamin, which either came out, protruded, or went into Chelik Yehuda. So you see that the two Mikdash, the two strands, the two Eitzim, were represented by Yehuda and Yosef. The mitzvah, as we know, of Mechiyas Samolik, that's the mitzvah that's done, that's the first mitzvah of coming to Eretz Yisrael, that's for a melech to do, was initiated by Yeshua already in the Midbar, initiated by Yeshua, who's from Ephraim, and uncompleted by Shaul later on, but completed by David in Shmuel Aleph. David does fight Samolik. So we find that both David representing Malchus Yehuda, Yeshua from Ephraim, Shaul from Binyamin, are all committed to Malchusdikah roles. Malchusdikah roles, they know where the three mitzvahs of coming into Israel is to establish Melucha, is to annihilate Amalek, and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And we find in all those three areas, both Yehuda and Yosef competing. In Malchus, we've shown they competed. In Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan, they compete. And in Mechiyas HaMolek, they compete. So there's a big, it's a lot bigger than what seems to us to be an argument between a family disagreement. This is a disagreement that has its roots in Malchus. Lest we think that it was only in Malchus, but not actually in the actual family units, we can take it a stage earlier, and we see that whatever happened to Yosef, within the family as a human being, also happens to Yehuda. Starting off with their marriages. So we're not told at all who the Shiftekah married. We're not told who they married. The only two of the Shvatim who we are told about the details of their marriage, setting up with their families, as we know, is Yehuda and Yosef. Yosef is not in this week's Seder, it's in that week's Seder. We're told the name of his wife, we're told the names of his children, and we're told the reasons of the names of his children in this week's Seder. And more than that, before he actually settles into his family life, there is a challenge to his family life with Eishes Potiphera. Similarly with Yehuda. Yehuda, we're told, initially marries Bathsheba. That marriage fails, she dies. And we're told about that in this week's Sedra. He then, through the orchestration of Tamar, ends up marrying Tamar, so we're told who he marries. And they produce two children, Peretz and Zarach, and we're told again the reasons behind their names. The only Shiftekah, that's the case. So the others were told the names of the children of the Shiftekah, but we're not told the reasoning behind the names. Interesting. Furthermore, the brothers are referred to in two places, once as being the brothers of Yosef, and the other time as being the brothers of Yehuda. It's the only two. In this week's Edra, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Vav, V'yosef hu ha'shalat al ha'aretz hu ha'bash b'lechol ha'aretz v'yavoyu achei Yosef, the brothers of Yosef came. And then in Vayigash, in Perek Mem Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, V'yavo Yehuda ve'echov beis ha'Yosef. And it's the only two times that the brothers are referred to as brothers of a particular shevet. So we see not only in Melucha are they competing for Melucha, but we see within the family unit, not only do they have similar family experiences in the way they first tried to establish their houses, Yehuda with Eshes Potiphar, with Yosef with Eshes Potipharah, Yehuda with Bas Shua. Those failed initial instigations, followed by marriage, Yehuda to Tamar, Yosef to Asnas, and the birth of the children, Ephraim and Manasseh, who are specified as being Ephraim and Manasseh, and the reasons behind those names, and Peretz and Zerach, and the reasons behind those names. Furthermore, all the Shiftei Kor married Canaanites, ladies from Canaan. Other than Yehuda and Yosef. Bat Shua was initially a Canaanite, but she passed away and went out of the picture. And from then on, Yehuda married Tamar, Yosef married Asnas, were the only two of the Shiftei Kor who didn't marry into Canaan. So there's clearly a connection, for the time being, a contrast between the lives of Yehuda and the lives of Yosef. And that's really what's panning out through these sedras. Obviously, the main story, the main protagonist is Yosef. But alongside Yosef, there's Yehuda, running behind the scene, eventually coming to a head in Parshas Vayigash, is Yosef combating Yehuda, combating Yosef. And the question is, what's behind, now that we've established these are two branches that are clearly competing with each other, what is it that they're competing about? What is it what's actually going on over here? And why was Yosef such a threat? When we say he was a threat to the brothers, from what we've briefly outlined now, we see he's really a threat to Yehuda, who's representing the brothers. What is it? So based on the thoughts of Rav Soloveitchik, more recently I saw Rav Kook quoted as developing a similar idea. And perhaps translated into the current vernacular. I'm in education. And in education, I studied education, management, and leadership. And there seems to be two strands of leadership, two models of leadership. One's called leadership, and one's called management. And the two are very different. They have obviously common strands, but the two are different. Management means retaining the status quo, but making sure it's consolidated and implemented to its best effect. But the vision is imposed from without, from an outside source. Leadership is very different. Leadership is providing, is the role to provide a vision. Yehuda his method of Malchus, his approach to Malchus, was less migamrei klum. David is the symbol. He's the quintessential Malchus of Malchus based David, of Yehuda. David is the name, the name David is Dalet, Dalet with a Vav in the middle. Dalet, as we know, Dalus is less migamrei klum. Dal from being poor, from Loshen Dal. The model, the moshel of Malchus David is the moon. That's the moshel of Malchus based David. David Melech Yisrael Chavikam Yisrael Kedish Levona. In David's melucha, he himself is nothing. He's surrounded by Dalet. Let's me gamrei klum. The Malchus is Hashem's. The Malchus is the Vav in the middle. The Malchus is Hashem. He himself, as a human being, is nothing. Has none of his own input. It's the Vav in the middle. And the job of the Melech is to reflect the Shemesh, which is Chas v'Shalom, but it's a marshal to the Oyer of Kutshu Brichu. It's the Oyer of the Vav in the middle. That's why we find in Divrei Yomim, when Malchus Shlomo is established, Vayeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem lemelech al kol Yisrael. So it's kisei Hashem, yudke vavke. That's Malchus David. Yosef had a different paradigm. Yosef's paradigm was Yosef HaTzadik. In Malchus Beis David, since the Melech was merely implementing the Vav, was merely implementing the Kisei Hashem, or Kisei Hashem, the human being could be very imperfect. The human being could fail. And through Tshuva, remain in situ. As we find in this week's Sedra with Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda stumbled. He sinned. And he said, Tzad Kamimeni, she's correct. David HaMelech similarly with Bathsheba, Chotosi Hashem. Because the role of the Melech was simply to manage, if we could say that, to implement the Malchus, the Kisei Hashem. And the human being could therefore be imperfect. No reason not to. The human being should be as a human being. Make his mistakes, do tshuva. Yosef was a model of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef had to be absolutely perfect. Because the paradigm that Yosef employed was a paradigm of being the one to bring Malchus Hashem into the world. To be the one, the beacon of light, not to merely implement a vision that's already there, but to rather create it. And to do that, there has to be absolute perfection. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, says the Soloveitchik in his dreams, saw into the future. And he saw a situation, his dreams, and Shimshon Farhesh has a similar idea, his dreams were around agriculture. Now the brothers had been shepherds. They were shepherds in Canaan. He has a dream of Klal Yisrael developing and moving away from being a small family concerned with shepherding in Canaan to taking on the center of civilization at the time, of moving into Egypt, moving into Mitzrayim, which was the center of civilization, having to take on the civilization of its time. Having to move from being shepherds, primitive shepherds, to being agricultural magnates, to being entrepreneurs, to being economists, to being bankers, to being people who would create an economy, lead the economy, and build a leading empire in the world. And Yosef had that vision. That's leadership. That was the paradigm of Yosef at its best. And for that, he knew that there had to be absolute perfection in their allegiance to the values that he had received from Yaakov, who had in turn received it from Yitzhak and Avraham. The only way they could be successful in creating this Malchus, this empire, in what was then the modern world, would be through a strong allegiance to the values that he had received from the Avos. But at the same time, he believed that they had to train themselves up, so to speak, in order to be able to create that economy. That was a threat to Yehuda, because Yehuda's paradigm is completely different. Yehuda's paradigm is to retain the status quo. Yehuda's paradigm is to have what you have already, but to consolidate it, not to create new models of living. And that's why Yosef was a threat to Yehuda. A major threat. A threat in basic approach as how should the Shiftei Kol develop? The three Mesholim that Rashi gives to what Yosef picked up. Yosef criticized them on three elements. Edom and Achai. Chashudim al Aroes, Avodim, called them Avodim, B'nei Shlokas Avodim, and Chashudim al Aroes. Again, perhaps, I haven't seen this. Perhaps these three incidences are attached or commemorate or have within them the concept of Gilei Aroes, Avodah Zarah, Shivchas Domim, and Gilei Aroes. The three cardinal principles, the three cardinal Averis, corresponding to our Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasod, the three cardinal principles on which Klal Yisrael are built. Yosef picked them up on these three elements. And he felt that in these three areas there needs to be perfection. There needs to be absolute perfection. We know that in each of the incidences, in each of the, there was a reason why they did it. Eved ben Achai, because the bosser wasn't complete, the animal was still mefarches. Yeah, that's what Sish Chachamim says. Could be corresponding to Shlichas Domim. Again, not that it was Shlichas Domim, but getting the idea that in the area, in the three cardinal principles, the value commodities on which Shiftei Kol, which Klal Yisrael are built, Yosef found the Shiftei Kol to be imperfect. It wasn't absolutely perfect. Calling B'nei Shvoches Avodim, again, I just see the word Avodah, so possibly linked to Avodah Zorah. Possibly, there was an imperfection in their attitude to Avodah Zorah. Again, I don't know exactly what it was. And similarly with Aroyas, Yosef demanded complete perfection. Yehuda didn't demand that. Yehuda didn't insist that there needs to be complete. As long as you're fulfilling the expectations, as long as you're fulfilling within the parameters of what's correct or incorrect, as long as you're fulfilling the basic requirements, how that's translated into practice isn't what concerns Yehuda. Yehuda is mainly to manage as it is, to manage the status quo. We know that these sedras always coincide with the onset of Hanukkah. Hanukkah was initially had started off as a contrast between Klal Yisrael and the threats from without. And there were those amongst Klal Yisrael who believed at the time that one can engage with the outer world. One can engage. That went badly wrong. At the time of Hanukkah, it went badly wrong. Because the influence of Yavon crept in, and rather than Klal Yisrael using Yavon to its advantage, Yaftil Kim Liefes, rather than allowing, managing the threat of Yavon, managing it, but keeping it within the boundaries of Kvod Shamayim, it went wrong. And that's what happened at the time of Hanukkah. the influence from without, the Yafti Lekim Liefes, the broadening, which could have been an approach suggested by Yosef, the broadening of the horizons in order to embrace a wider culture and be Mekadoshit, went wrong. And that needed to be brought back. It needed to be brought back by the Kohanim. The Kohanim, Kesifse Kohen Yishmurdah, Hatorah Vakshu Peel, the Kohanim who brought it back to its initial situation. Yehuda and the Kohanim were very close allies. The Kohanim together with the Beis HaMikdash. As we know, the Kohanim functioned very closely with Malchus. Their role was to bring it back in line with what it should be. Because the Yosef role, if not managed with proper boundaries, can be extremely dangerous. And as we know, at the end of the day, Malchus Yehuda won over. Malchus Yehuda, until Yemes HaMashiach, is the paradigm that Klal Yisrael need to adopt. Because allowing the open border, so to speak, if it's not managed properly, if the Klal Yisrael aren't in their best form, is a very dangerous practice. But ultimately, as we saw in the Novi Yechezkel, the ultimate vision is for the two approaches to be combined. For the paradigm of Yosef, the leadership paradigm, to be the one to infuse the management paradigm. Yeah, so the two should come together so that Klal Yisrael can be an Ohr LaGoyim. So Klal Yisrael can, with its strong anchor in the Beis HaMikdash, in Torah, can have that ability to influence beyond its strict confines. We will be zeichet to it speedily in our days.